You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers, and for the Wednesday edition on what will be day one of the Ebor Festival at York. I'm delighted to be joined by Sam Turner. Sam, great to see you. Getting excited now because it's a big Yorkshire festival on the horizon.
Yeah, it's a test match, isn't it? And there's a bit of racing as well. So if Yorkshire is certainly the place to be this week, Bobby, I'd like to be in two places at once. If I could, I'd certainly like to be on the Western Terrace or whatever they call it now, watching England-Australia, but I have to settle for the Knavesmire, and it's not a bad place to be at all with the weather set fire. And obviously a brilliant first day as well with the likes of the Great Voltager, the Judmont, some good strong handicaps, and the Aiken, which looks a really interesting race. So plenty to look forward to this week. Brilliant racing.
Just before we look ahead to the action on day one, if we just quickly touch upon what we saw on Tuesday afternoon, particularly at Brighton, and a certain Roy Rocket, who's been an absolute legend over the years, a grand old servant to trainer John Berry, course specialist at Brighton as well. We've seen him run this afternoon, and I don't know about yourself, Sam, but I'm getting the impression now that he's kind of falling out of love with the game.
Maybe. I mean, he was in second 9 days ago, so he didn't run too badly there. And I suppose as horses get older, they do become a lot less consistent. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's won 9 of his 30 starts at Brighton. That was his 30th career run at Brighton today. He's 9 years of age now. John Egan has always struck up a really good relationship with him, and I'm sure he'll be the first to pass on the feedback to John Berry. Roy Rocket, I don't know him, but he might just be a horse that's much happier in training than out of it. Some racehorses just can't abide being quiet and lolloping around a field. They want to be in training, they want to be leading the young horses, and that might be what he's doing at John's. I don't know his makeup and his characteristics and his temperament, but I'm sure John, who's a very, very shrewd man and a very intelligent man, will be the first to call time on his career if he does feel that that's the right thing to do.
And just before, as I say, we do look ahead to Wednesday, Friday afternoon, day three of the Ebor Festival. The big race of the day is the big sprint, and that is the Group 1 Nunthorpe. And news broke yesterday it would be Gerard Mosse partnering Mabs Cross and not Paul Mulrennan. And of course, Gerard did actually steer it to victory in the Abbey last year.
Yes, quite a shock really, and sort of sprung from nowhere, because Paul Mulrennan obviously rides that sprint track and the round track at York particularly well. He's enjoyed incredible success there, so to not have him on your side seems a strange decision for me, but I think connections the owner is certainly looking towards France again with his filly and want Mosse on board again. Now, I'm pretty sure Gerard Mosse would be more than happy to ride in the Abbey and not have ridden in the Nunthorpe, so I don't quite understand the mechanics of it. But anyway, Paul Mulrennan's got to sit it out, and it's a shame for him because he's come back from a number of quite serious injuries. He's enjoying a really good campaign. He's got a great relationship with Michael Dodds, which has been forged over recent years, and has enjoyed plenty of success at this meeting. So it is disappointing, but the owner's the owner. He has a lot of horses. David Armstrong, he's entitled to use who he wants to use. He hasn't just plucked a name out of thin air. It's a rider that he's used before to good effect. So, you can fully understand the decision. It's just a bit of a disappointing one for Paul Mulrennan. But he's he's a very professional rider. He'll take it on the chin. He's the kind of guy that will look to prove people wrong. He'll get a lot of sympathy from those colleagues inside the weighing room, I would imagine. But as he says quite rightly in his comments, he's not the first big jockey to lose a big race ride. And it'll happen again many times, probably before the end of the season. So it's a common occurrence, and you just got to move on and shrug your shoulders.
The great voltage here on Wednesday afternoon is a trial towards the William Hill St. Ledger. Sam, what do you make of this year's renewal? I suppose the question is really, will Logician remain unbeaten?
Well, it's lacking in numbers, but not in quality. It's got a, you know, really nice shape to it with five strong contenders. Obviously, Logician has been very patiently trained by John Gosden, son of Frankel. He's obviously a little bit buzzy and a little bit enthusiastic and exuberant, and John Gosden's been at pains just to let him mature steadily and incrementally bring about his progress through the season, and that looks a smart move. He's obviously won a couple of times at Newbury as well, which isn't dissimilar in configuration to York. He likes a flat track, he's a strong galloper, and he was 5-on to win a handicap last time, so that just showed you what the betting market made of the handicapper's assessment that he was a horse rated 90. So he's going to leave all those sort of races behind him, you would imagine, and progress, you know, through to a Group 1 sponsored by William Hill in September. And hopefully he'll run a massive race here. He's got Constantinople and Neaf Road, who were second and first respectively in the Gordon Stakes at Goodwood, and they're going to test him. This will be the biggest test of his career to date. But just with that patience and the faith that John Gosden's put in him, I think that should pay out. And he's my idea of the winner, I must admit.
And the big race of the day, the 3:35, is the Group 1 Judmont International. And I believe, Sam, you're keen on one of the Yorkshire runners in this field.
Yeah, obviously it's an intriguing race. Crystal Ocean's got any amount in hand on the official figures, courtesy of his performances, and of course the second at the King George when just going down on his shield behind Enable, and that makes him the clear form pick here. But we saw in last year's race that the winner of the King George suffered defeat, Poet's Word, and that was only 3.5 weeks ago. Now, Crystal Ocean's got a tremendous constitution, he's pretty robust, and there's every thought that he might well bounce back from that York performance and beat this field, which looks a pretty decent field to my eye. But he's 11-10, 5-4, and he's also been beaten on his only sole start at York, whereas Elakam is 2 from 3 at York. Mm-hmm. He's had a wind operation. He's starting to prove that the faith that his stable had in him from the early days when he went to Mark Johnson's yard is going to become vindicated this year. He was put in a sparkling performance to win over course and distance last time. He beat Adaib, who then went on and won the Rose of Lancaster, pulling handsprings. So I think it's a really good renewal, a really intriguing renewal with a number of three-year-olds in there that could well step up. Japan coming back in trip, King of Comedy going up in trip, mm-hmm. Circus Maximus returning to 10 furlongs or to a trip that should see him to good effect. So it's a belting contest. And not to mention, you know, the Japanese Raider, Lord Glitters. I mean, it's got a little bit for everybody, including last year's third Thundering Blue, who placed at a big price last year. But I like Elakam. I think he's going the right way at the moment. He's a no-nonsense individual. I can't see many pace angles in the race, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Jim Crowley get on with him and get on with the tactics at the head of affairs. I think there's a lot of hold-up horses in here. I'd imagine Crystal Ocean and James Doyle will sit pretty handy as well.
Yep.
Japan, etc. And Ballydoyle will probably try and control the race. But I think Elakam, with that York knowledge, the fact that he's missed, you know, one or two difficult parties this year and has had a nice steady preparation for this race, I think 10-1 for him is a very decent each way bet.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, Sam, it's been an absolute pleasure working with you here on the Daily Racing Podcast, and enjoy your couple of days on the Knavesmire.
Cheers, Bob. Thank you, and you.
Thank you very much. Do tune in to William Hill Racing Radio on Wednesday. Stephen Powell, Ross Briley and Chris Pimlott are your team, taking you through all the action in the afternoon and into the evening.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.